Hey there.
I'm James.
And I'm Sam.
We love television.
But it can often be a cruel mistress.
Cutting off new shows before they ever get a chance to shine.
Here on We Hardly Knew You, we give these single season shows a fair shake.
By actually going back and watching them.
Join us today as we begin our discussion of Terra Nova.
Does Steven Spielberg choose his projects based on their potential proximity to dinosaur encounters?
Should children of the 90s really be surprised to learn that Batman eventually turned out to be father to the Pink Ranger?
Does Sam understand that TV shows don't need different writers for each national market they're broadcast in?
Answers to these questions and more in part one.
Terra Nova, We Hardly Knew You. Are you asking a question?
I was leading into you being able to introduce what we watched this time.
Oh.
But you didn't take the bait.
Well, I did not.
That's okay. That just leaves it up to me to use my beautiful radio voice to tell the listener that we recently watched Terra Nova. And I'm going to do a rundown for it. A rundown.
I don't like that.
No?
I don't like that you did that.
That like drive time, you know.
Yeah, no. I'm not
early in the morning, DJ host.
The crazy Ira and the douche.
Mm-hmm, style.
Style, mm-hmm. No.
I used to have a name like that. It's Sam the Sandwich Man Baird.
When you had your radio show in college?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Was that your real, was that what you came
with? That's what I called myself,
and
yeah.
Said?
I'm Sam the Sandwich Man.
To like listeners.
To actual, all. I think this show has more listeners than that show.
Than that whole radio station.
Mm-hmm. It was an online college radio station.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, it was.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone outside of the dorms was listening. It's very similar to this show, actually. I know that my parents didn't listen because they actively told me that.
They said, we are not going to listen to this.
My mom did. Yeah, she did say that.
So mm-hmm. Don't get your hopes up.
Oh, my hopes have been down for...
they started down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do a rundown.
Okay. So... Terra Nova is a single season show. It aired for 13 episodes, although I was surprised to see that. And then I remembered the first two episodes aired together. So I've been watching thinking there were 12 episodes, but really the first one was like 2 hours long.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. When I watched it, I'm not sure I really saw the place where you could have cut it into two episodes.
Yeah, I don't remember that I really did either. I mean, it aired as one block.
Okay.
So maybe they just didn't really write in a good spot for that.
Yeah. Maybe production-wise, it was considered two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But in its execution, it just turned into one.
Right. So Terra Nova aired on the Fox Network in September of 2011, and it was over by December of 2011.
Which is quick.
Yeah. It's now on the networks, you would consider that to just be a half season, really. You accurately pointed out when we discussed this beforehand that is not unusual now with our streaming world.
Mm-hmm.
They can make however many episodes they want to make.
And they tend to be in that 10 to 15
mm-hmm.
episode range.
Yeah, a lot of the time. Now, I wasn't going to spend a bunch of time on the rundown until I actually opened the Wikipedia page 5 minutes ago to find out more about the show that mm-hmm. I had just spent the last 3 weeks watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that unlike most television shows where the network will order a pilot and then people watch the pilot and decide if
they want more.
Mm-hmm. Fox actually immediately just ordered the 13 episodes.
They just said, make 13 episodes of a show.
Mm-hmm.
Just go.
Exactly. And while it had the average production budget of a network show at that time, it had a significantly higher post-production budget.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the CG dinosaurs.
Yeah, the CGI dinosaurs and whatnot. So there were actually... And the shooting length for each episode was about the same, but the production length afterwards was like 2 weeks longer per episode. And so Fox just really apparently wanted to invest in this. And I think the big draw is that Steven Spielberg signed on early as one of the executive producers, which I did not know until just now.
Right. They figured, well, if we got Spielberg here, this can't flop.
Right. But what I find funny is that I don't know how they got Spielberg on there, because according to this Wikipedia page, which is the only source I get for anything in a rundown that we do here. Kelly Marcel, who is the British writer that originally created
Who's
the idea.
The British writer?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
It is.
Why?
Why is she
is
the writer?
An, is
why
there
is she
an
British?
American writer? Why did you modify?
Mainly because of her last name seemed really British to me, so I just wanted to make it clear.
You wanted to make it clear. Okay. It's like you said.
She is.
There's the British writer, and then here's the Japanese writer. Okay,
yes.
you just
so
wanted to say
so
that.
The writer Kelly Marcel, who happens to be British, she apparently was taking a class for writing and was doing an exercise in which she had to write something that her dad would like, and she came up with this premise.
Okay,
while she was working at a video rental store.
Wow.
In Battersea, England.
Okay. Okay.
And then her apparently amazing agent got this to Fox. Mm-hmm, got it to Fox and got Steven Spielberg on board. And so for those of you who haven't seen Terra Nova, first of all, why are you listening to this? Because you're going to get all kinds of spoilers.
Right.
But if you haven't seen it, it's a very big part of the storyline that there are dinosaurs in it.
Yeah.
And yet it was somehow created by Kelly Marcel, and only after Steven Spielberg got involved did he suggest there should be dinosaurs in this.
So do you think she wrote a story about how they just went back in time into like a pre-human Earth to, you know, kind of start over?
Right.
And then somehow throughout all this like writing and production, nobody realized that if they went back as far as they're saying, there would be dinosaurs.
There would be dinosaurs.
And so Spielberg's like, hold on, everybody. Where are we? How long ago? Okay, there should be dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There should definitely be dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah, this was also 2011. And so I get this, which means that, you know, Jurassic Park was very popular already at this point. And so it just gives me this idea that anytime Steven Spielberg gets involved in anything, he just goes to the creators and he says, all right, this either needs aliens or dinosaurs. Which one do you want?
He's like Michael Bay with explosions and lens flare.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, those two things are going to be there.
Mm-hmm. And like spinning camera angles on like two dudes like standing tough. So I just was very shocked, and I'm in awe of Marcel's agent, because not only did they pick it up, they picked it up immediately for 13 episodes.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even pilot it. Mm-hmm. They just said, nope, go for it. Yep. We want it.
They got like a crazy budget, and then nobody ever heard of it afterwards. But you know what? Good for Kelly Marcel. The cast... starting out just our conversation about the show, I did not say anything to you about this while we were discussing pre-show, because I wanted to get your honest reaction on air here.
Okay.
Did you realize as you started into the first episode that the main character was played by
Batman.
Jason O'Mara? Is Batman?
It's Batman, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I have in my notes in like huge capital letters, oh, dang, that's Jason O'Mara.
That's Batman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the new Batman.
Yes, he replaced Kevin Conroy, the longtime animated voice of Batman.
Because I feel like Jason O'Mara, when he does Batman, he puts on a voice.
Yes.
But there were definitely times when I watched it, I thought, that voice sounds familiar. And then when the first time they ran the credits, I saw his name, and I was like, I know that. That's Batman. Yep. Okay, that's why his voice sounded familiar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say I heard the voice and I was like, oh, that's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But I put a couple of things together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then I heard it.
Yeah, for the
rest
every
of,
time.
Yeah, for the rest of the show.
I will say the character of Jim Shannon that mm-hmm. Jason O'Mara plays in this show is a family man. He's a father. And so he's got a lot more like natural caring parentalness
yeah. Yeah.
in his voice here. Whereas when he plays Batman, it's very like straightforward and right. strict. He right. sounds...
He's not playing any games. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jim Shannon
mm-hmm.
is, yeah, he's a dad. He's paternal. Mm-hmm. He's a family man. So he's got a little more softness
to him.
To him.
Yeah. So much so, you know, just to give the backstory of how we get into Terra Nova. Terra Nova is Earth, except 84 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Shannons are there on a pilgrimage after Jim had been arrested for having three. Well,
they had three. So Earth in 2149
looks like what Earth will look like in 2149.
Looks is pretty much what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're only allowed, families are only allowed to have two children.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually address it really quickly in this show. I think someone asked why they had a third kid, and they simply just said, we thought it was a good idea at
yeah.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, not a good idea at the time, but whatever. They had a third kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think they called him, like, the population control officers or something like that.
Yeah, because Jim is actually a detective.
Right, right.
But there's
this in Chicago or Detroit?
Chicago.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I knew it was one of those, like, pretty hardened cities.
Mm-hmm. Up there in Michigan. No, Illinois. Well, Illinois or Michigan.
Well, yeah, Detroit. One's in Michigan, one's in Illinois.
Is Detroit by Lake Michigan? I know Chicago is.
It's possible. I don't know geography.
Okay.
But yeah, so Jason's a... he. No, not Jason.
Jim.
Jim. Mm-hmm. Batman is a detective. Jim is a detective.
Well, Batman is the greatest detective.
Batman is a detective, but mm-hmm. Jim is also a detective. He was, a narcotics detective.
I believe that's correct, yes.
But he gets thrown into prison, and this is going to... I think this is going to get into some things I want to discuss. I'm not sure why that whole part was even necessary.
Yeah.
Because they do things like this a lot in the show where they like set up a conflict,
right,
and then just
kind of let it go.
Like, well, not even let it go, they just like fix it immediately.
Yeah,
which kind of begs the question to me, well, if it wasn't gonna be anything,
mm-hmm.
why did we have it to start with?
I will say that you, as a person that I've known for many years, have always been
oh yeah,
and to an annoying extent like a plot minimalist.
Well, yeah, I just... Yeah.
You have never accepted that there can just be parts of the plot that are just for themselves and don't yeah. have to develop into anything else.
Well, it's okay. That's for later. We'll talk about that. I'm mm-hmm. going to write that down.
But I will say it as a writer and just understanding where this idea even came from, I could see someone sitting down and saying, all right, what's an organic way to introduce how terrible Earth 2149 is?
Okay.
And they have the five-person family living in basically a 10-foot by 10-foot
right,
room.
Right.
They have everybody walking around in rebreathers,
right,
which is...
the air sucks.
Mm-hmm, because in 2011, that seemed, you know, weird, but now we all walk around with masks on anyways.
Okay.
So we're kind of already there.
So we're kind of getting there, yeah.
And then, you know, introducing the population police, I think shows how much the government and, like, society has, like... cracked down on humanity.
Humans in the impact they can have
mm-hmm.
on this world.
Yeah, yeah, the concept of population control is a fast way to say you are in a, like...
In China.
Well, yeah. That's, you know, a society that is... A government that is super strict. And you are being oppressed,
right,
basically.
Yeah.
In the most intimate way that a person can
right.
be oppressed.
Yeah. We're going to control your reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oppression in a very intimate way that we would not know anything about as Americans.
I made that reference not really understanding how topical that is.
Yeah.
Like, to right now.
Well, you know, it's not like the Supreme Court is up for grabs or anything.
No, no.
But let's not... Let's not date.
This isn't a political podcast.
No, it's not. And also, let's not date this episode so that it only makes sense only makes in the sense. Like week that we release it.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So they find out that the Shannons mm-hmm. have three kids. They put Jim in jail.
He's in jail for punching that.
For punching that one population control officer or whatever.
Because really what they were going to do was get fined, but then the population control officer was a total dick.
Right.
So he punched him
and then, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, again, I think it's just another nudge at how oppressive and that government is. Like he was in jail for 2 years, but that wasn't. Like his sentence wasn't over.
Right.
You know, they broke him out. I think he even mentioned some inordinate amount of time mm-hmm. that he had left.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but it's been a little while since I watched that first episode, they had mentioned that it was a private prison.
Oh,
like
okay.
It was run by private organizations.
So,
and they were in these tiny little cells. And
I think what I'm getting is, who is the writer of this?
Marcel something.
Yeah.
Kelly Marcel.
I think we need to talk to her.
Because she's a precog.
Because she's getting a lot of this stuff pretty on the nose.
Yeah, a lot of the future predictions were eerily accurate about all the negative things.
all the bad stuff.
I don't know if like the time travel or the super medicine or you know the scientific exploration will exist, but it seems like all the crappy stuff she got right.
And you know what? I think if we can just avoid the bad stuff mm-hmm. for now,
yeah,
I think that's enough.
Oh, I think so too.
I think that's enough.
I think
we don't need to get a jump start on the good stuff mm-hmm. so much as I would just kind of like to mm-hmm. nip in the bud all that bad stuff. But
yeah.
Anyway, so Jim's in jail. There are these pilgrimages that go to Terra Nova.
Which is just Earth 84 million years ago.
Before humans jacked everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jim's wife, Elizabeth, mm-hmm. is this really great doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She and her family were given priority mm-hmm. to go to Terra Nova.
Yep.
But
Which needs doctors.
But they were only going to allow Elizabeth to take, I think, the oldest two kids.
And they said two of the kids.
Yeah, two of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with this plan to break Jim out of jail, mm-hmm. smuggle their youngest daughter, and then they were all going to go to Terra Nova
mm-hmm.
because apparently this gate that gets you back in time only goes one way.
And I did, and we'll discuss some of the things that I thought were novel about the idea.
Uh-huh.
And how the show was set up. And I thought that was one of them that doesn't borrow too much from really well-known science fiction that already exists,
mm-hmm.
which is that the rift is not man-made. It's being harnessed by men at Hope Plaza, which is the place where people pass through. But it occurred like naturally, and they harnessed that passageway.
Right.
And that's, at least in sci-fi that I've experienced, a little unusual.
Yeah.
And gives the story an element of kind of being like cut off too.
Yeah, there's some stakes.
Mm-hmm.
There are some stakes.
Because once they're there, even communication with the future can
right.
only happen
when
the pilgrimages
gate,
pass
yeah,
through.
When the gate opens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have Jim Shannon, Elizabeth Shannon. She's a really great doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They have the oldest son.
Yes.
Is he the oldest?
The son is the oldest.
The son is the oldest. His name is Josh. They have another daughter.
Zoe.
Named Zoe. She's the youngest.
Zoe's the youngest. And then they have the middle daughter.
The middle daughter named Maddie. Do you know who she is?
No, but I thought I recognized her.
Naomi Scott.
Okay.
Jasmine in the
new Aladdin movie. I thought I recognized her.
I got one more for you.
Is it the one that I'm about to say?
Are you going
to
say it?
Go ahead and say it. You say your thing.
You want me to say my thing?
Yeah, you say your thing. I'll say my thing.
About Naomi Scott.
Oh, about Naomi Scott? No.
Yeah. Okay. Because she was another thing.
No.
She was the Pink Ranger in the newest Power Rangers.
Oh,
Power
was
Rangers
she?
Movie.
I did not recognize her from that. Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. I just watched that new Aladdin remake like a month ago.
Yep.
But yeah.
So she was Pink Ranger and Jasmine.
She played a lot of important roles from... She replayed a lot of important roles from my childhood.
Yeah, from our childhood.
But she's younger in this.
Right.
Than she was in either of those things.
Yeah, it was before both of those.
Yep. I was going to say... So they get to Terra Nova. Jim just narrowly gets there. You know, it does do a good job. Like, because up until this point, it's been a lot of, like, backstory. And it hasn't been that exciting.
Yeah.
But they do build a little bit of tension. He almost doesn't make it through the portal before they can stop
Some
him.
Some of the guards are like, wait, where'd you come from? We saw you come from this direction. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And then ultimately, he just, like...
He just runs
the
way that he gets through is that he... pushes them away really fast and then just like makes just a mad dash for it.
Yeah, because when they were talking about how the gate only goes one way, I'm like, first of all, why are any of these people being like any kind of patient? I would just like go.
Yeah.
I would just be running.
Because once I get through, what are they going to do?
What are you going to do? You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't send me back.
Yeah. And so he gets through. And then the family, including him, is brought to like the camp.
Yeah.
Which they call Terra Nova. I've been calling the whole planet Terra Nova, but I guess that's not accurate. It's just the camp.
Well, if you use lowercase T, lowercase N, it is.
Which one would be lowercase?
Both of them.
But no, which would
just the world.
The world would be lowercase?
Yeah, because it's just a...
Like how when you hold Earth in your hand.
World. Yeah, it's just the new world.
Okay.
But the camp, it would be like uppercase Terra Nova. Okay. Proper noun.
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova is the camp.
Okay, that makes sense. So they're at uppercase Terra Nova now, and they meet Taylor, who is introduced from a far back crane shot. He is standing up on this like balcony on a hut that's bigger than all the other huts. And he's like overlooking the camp, and people walk and do their business beneath him. And he's in a black t-shirt, black like cargo pants with a knife and a gun.
Yeah.
And he's got the square jawline. And as the crane shot was coming in and he's got like the old man, old man gray hair, but the muscles that tell you that this old man could kick your ass.
He's got old man strength.
Yeah, exactly. And as the crane shot was coming in and I couldn't even fully make out his face, I was just in my head. I just out loud went, "You're on Pandora." And then the crane shot like gets closer and actually gets to his face. And it's the same guy. It's the guy from Avatar. Who's the bad guy?
I never saw Avatar.
Oh, okay. It's the bad guy from Avatar who does that line where he just like, "You're on Pandora."
Okay.
Like, "You should be afraid."
So there's a lot of, I guess, parallels on this show because, he plays a similar type character.
Yeah.
I want to mention his right hand. Is a soldier named Wash.
Yeah.
There's another Wash.
I was thinking Wash is an incredibly unusual name, and now we've had two of them.
We've had two of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense as a nickname for someone whose last name is Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Wash was Washburn.
Yeah, Washburn and Firefly. And here it's Washington.
It's Washington.
Yes. Washington here, she is the...
She's just like Taylor's lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
Just his right hand.
Right. And Taylor's backstory is so, BA that they explain that before they stabilized the rift.
That he got there, but...
He got there he went through like 10 seconds before the rest of his crew, but he got there like 7 years.
I think it was like 100 days, I think he said.
Was it? Okay.
I don't think it was that long.
Okay.
But it was like a while.
It was a while.
He got there like 100 days, I think, or so.
Mm-hmm. And he had to live completely on his own.
Yeah, but he made it
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
with the Carnosaurs and the
Slashers,
Uva Rafters and the Slashers. I think those were the three carnivores that we. Oh, and then the pterodactyls. Did they just call them pterodactyls?
No, they called them something. You it mean those some, birds?
Yeah. Yes.
Those were something else.
Yeah, the ones that looked like pterodactyls.
Mm-hmm. No, they were something else.
But I think they did call them like pterodons or
something.
Yeah.
But I didn't get too caught up in what they were calling dinosaurs.
There, I was just listening for ones for names that I knew, and there weren't that many.
They said like. Brachiosaurus. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I knew that was a thing. But everything else, I'm like, I've never heard of these.
I think a carnosaur is a real thing.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, I didn't really pay too much attention to what they were calling dinosaurs.
I did appreciate dinosaur-wise that a lot of them were those like feathered kind of dinosaurs that looked more realistic to their bird origins.
Yeah.
But so we're in dinosaur country now.
Right.
And you
right.
would... But. You would think that they would overuse that, but I appreciate that it wasn't overly part of every episode, like all dinosaurs all the time.
Right, right. Yeah, they definitely came up, but it wasn't overused.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't overused in any way.
So I think with all that, we are now done with the rundown.
Yeah,
I think
that got us to Terra Nova.
Yep, we're here now. And so now that we've set the scene... I want to say that my feeling about this show is that, and we've expressed this to each other, it's basically the sci-fi action version of Trophy Wife.
Yeah, but I will say Trophy Wife was way more bland.
Yeah.
And way more nothingness than this show is.
It's Trophy Wife-esque-ness comes from the fact that we've watched Firefly and Godless,
yeah,
and have just experienced drama and action that is at its peak,
right?
But then we've also watched like The Flash and Birds of Prey,
yeah,
and experienced action at its lowest,
yeah.
And this is
it. Just occupies that middle area where it is,
and then the sentence is over.
Those things.
It is yes. sci-fi. It is action.
Mm-hmm. It did. It checked the boxes.
Mm-hmm. And yes. I watched it happily.
Right. As I did with Trophy Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hate going into watching it.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not going to go back.
No, I don't intend on doing that. And the big thing that really made it not stand out to me was some of the character... like arcs and motivations and backstories.
Yeah.
It was strange that I liked some of the characters and yet I never cared that much about any of them. I think Taylor and Shannon, Jim,
yes.
were probably the two that I cared about the most.
And you know, I actually liked Wash too.
I did.
I very much liked her.
I liked her, but she in any individual episode, she never really got enough time to care that much.
No, that is true. I think that's why she piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, if she's Taylor's right hand, I want to know what she's up to.
Yeah,
I don't really care about this Reynolds dude or all these other soldiers. Tell me about Wash.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jim and Taylor. One of the first notes I wrote about Taylor is. Do we trust him?
Right.
That was one of the first things that came up because they gave him this air of, you know, he's running Terra Nova, so I'm sure he's got his fair share of, I guess, secrets is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But things he just doesn't outright tell all the citizens of Terra Nova. So they gave him this air of kind of mysteriousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure if that was supposed to come off as like untrustworthiness.
Right.
Because he also seemed like a very upstanding, like moral and principled guy.
Right. And it also plays into this early revealed conflict between Taylor and Terra Nova versus this other group called the Sixers.
Right. These people that live out in the... in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Who came in on the sixth pilgrimage to Terra Nova and then tried to like assassinate Taylor.
Yeah, I tried to.
And then they failed and had to like start living out in the wilderness on their own.
Right.
And they are led by Mira, who I started out being interested in.
Yeah.
And then became very bored with by the end.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I would actually say bored with.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, well, they drop her as the villain, essentially, yeah, before
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, that's it. Because I wasn't bored with her. I still liked Mira. I still found her character interesting. But yes, they just kind of replaced her as the big bad with
Lucas.
Taylor's son. Yeah, Lucas.
Mm-hmm. And the way that they do a lot of this is that in the beginning, the first few episodes, they were really building to what almost felt like Lost, if you ever watched Lost.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a mystery.
Right.
Especially in the first couple of episodes, some of the kids sneak out to go like play at a waterfall.
Outside the gates.
And they're outside the gates.
Yeah.
But they find all these weird markings that look like alien geometry.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. So I'm watching the first episode, and they go back in time, and then like you see the first dinosaur, and then I wrote dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then
hope you wrote it dinosaurs.
I think I did. I don't have that piece of paper here, but I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids go outside the gate and they get to the waterfall. Mm-hmm. There's all this like weird scribbles all over the rocks. And then I wrote aliens.
That's what. Yeah.
It's like, so we're okay. You had me with the dinosaurs. We're back in the prehistoric times. Okay. I get dinosaurs there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going this route too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a lot of things, but
yeah,
turns out it wasn't
right. It was. And then you find out, you're slowly released to this information that there's weird writing, and then you're released to Taylor knows about this writing and he won't let anybody see it.
He doesn't want anybody to know about it either.
Mm-hmm. And then you find out Mira knows about it and she knows it's Taylor's son.
Yeah.
And
making
then
calculations, doing math or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And now you're like, ooh, Taylor's son, that sounds interesting. And then it kind of gets to that point, and for me, this is where some of that weak motivation stuff starts coming in.
Yeah.
Is that mystery up to that point actually sounded like an interesting mystery. And then Taylor's son actually gets presented as a character.
But that's like way later.
Yeah. It's in like the last three episodes, because what happens is you get to that point in the mystery and then you have like six episodes
that are just strictly episodic.
Yeah. Like nothing develops.
Yeah.
And they keep hinting. Nothing develops, but they keep hinting at the same information that you've already learned.
Right. They don't let you forget about it, but they don't take it anywhere either.
Right. And so it starts to get stale.
Yeah.
Like they really built up something good in like the first four episodes. They had like a slow drip that I was intrigued by.
Right.
And then the drip just stopped. And then in the last three episodes, Taylor's son, Lucas, like falls into place.
They just turn it on full stream.
Yeah, but what I wanted him to be interested was he wasn't part of the Sixers and he wasn't part of Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing all these weird geometric scribblings and stuff. So I liked the idea that he maybe just like didn't have like a grasp of reality.
Right.
And maybe he had been like maybe he looked too deep into the void and was like affected in
like
that way.
Like when Iron Man went up into space and had like visions and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But instead what they did was they just turned him into the most generic Bond villain I've ever seen.
He was just big bad for the sake of being bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was aggressive and he was like really angry sounding and just yelled.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm like, what are you so angry about? And why are you so angry at this person?
Yeah. And he ends up just being like, he ends up being a corporate shill for people back in 2149 who want to just mine Terra Nova for all of its minerals.
Make a bunch of money.
And it's just like they chose the least interesting
way.
Yeah. Motivation for him.
Yeah.
And the least interesting way for him to be. And also, they made him they wanted him to keep seeming evil, and I feel like they wanted to keep giving him like this mysterious kind of broken aura about him.
Yeah.
And the way that they did that was to have him like really be creepy, like aggressively into like a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And not only that, but so this, the girl character, her name is Sky. And her and Jim's son, Josh, kind of have this love, but, you know, like they don't talk about it. Yeah. They're friends.
But you can tell there's tension there, but they never really, neither one really acknowledges it.
Yeah. But Josh is like 16, whereas Lucas looks like he's like 25.
I was going to even push it to like 30.
Yeah,
possibly. Taylor looks like a retired military guy. Mm-hmm. So Taylor could be in his like upper 50s and 60s maybe.
Yeah. And so, but Sky is kind of like becomes the de facto new kid for Taylor after his son goes out into the wild on his own.
Because Sky's parents died when they first got to Terra Nova because of sensilic fever.
The one has sensilic fever, but she ends up being secretly saved by the Sixers, which Taylor doesn't know. And then the father dies from slashers.
Well, that's another weird motivation I had when it was revealed that Sky's mom was being kept alive by the Sixers. Sky was feeding the Sixers intel to keep her mom alive. Mm-hmm. Taylor was also knew there was a spy, but he was trying to figure out who it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole reveal where it's actually Sky, and he's kind of broken up about it. But the weird motivation for me is like they said, I just imagine the Sixers was like, "Hey, Sky, we got this treatment for your mom's sickness. If you feed us intel, we'll keep your mom alive."
Yeah.
I don't understand why Sky didn't just say, "Hey, Taylor, the Sixers have my mom." Mm-hmm. She just could have been a double agent, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason she couldn't have done that. She just, "Hey, Taylor, they got my mom," who you want to protect your own people too.
Yeah, so they got my mom. He cites that as a motivation.
Right. They got my mom. They want me to spy for them. Like, how do you want to play this?
Yeah.
But instead, she just straight up spies for him. To give her credit, she doesn't give them good information.
Yeah,
she kind of gives them enough to keep her mom alive, but not enough to, you know, really harm Terra Nova in any meaningful way. But at the end, when it does come out that, you know, they kept her mom, they just straight up got her out of there.
Yeah.
So that's another example of like they set this whole thing up to just fix it.
Yeah.
So why even have it there?
I mean, it's there to explain. I see why they had it there. It's there to explain what gives Sky a motivation to be the spy.
But it's a bad motivation, and then they just fix it off camera. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm fine with Taylor's men being able to, you know, extract Sky's mother from the Sixer camp, because they also had an insider there to help it happen.
Yeah, they did have to build up why it was so easy, which was they had a mole in the Sixer camp too.
Yeah, but again, it was kind of like a bad motivation to start with, and then they just fixed it. It didn't seem like there were any real stakes.
Yeah, and you said that it's a bad motivation to have the mom being held hostage. And I want to talk about some of the cliches in the show. And that was a big one that I learned the trend, because there's an episode where a little girl runs away and gets to Terra Nova.
Yeah.
She is actually a Sixer spy that was sent to retrieve something. And then when they find that out,
weird rock.
It was like ended up being a computer.
Yeah.
But it's
an alien computer thing.
They had her do that by holding her brother hostage at the Sixer camp.
Right.
And then we find out that Sky is a spy because the mom is being held hostage at the Sixer camp. And then at the end, we find out Mira is only like trying to destroy Terra Nova because her daughter is being held hostage
in
back
2149.
In 2149. Yeah. So they do it the same motivation, multiple times throughout the show.
Yeah, and holding a family member over someone's head, I get it. That's a good motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you set up this whole world that Taylor is this super secret, awesome, mm-hmm. you know, military strategist guy
mm-hmm.
who's gotten himself out of multiple quagmires in the past.
Yeah.
And then presumably Skye knows this because they became close
mm-hmm.
over time. So even if she initially didn't think Taylor could, you know, pull this off.
Yeah.
Once she got to know him, mm-hmm. I don't see why she couldn't have said, oh, okay, we'll check this out.
Yeah.
Can you help me out with this?
Now, I will say that they do a good job of setting up, because, again, Mira is the leader of the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the actress's name, but anyone who's listening that's watched Black Lightning, the DC show.
Okay.
She plays... the doctor, Jefferson Pierce's wife on Black Lightning.
That's Christine Adams.
Okay, Christine Adams. But in this, she does a really good job of being intimidating. And
yeah.
She is an intimidating figure. And I could see where if this deal with the Sixers was set up when Skye was still very young, that,
oh, okay.
that she could
yeah, yeah.
buy into the idea that Mira is this like... person this that will really reckon, pull yeah. the trigger on her mom.
Right. This force to really be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. I agree that in real life, you yeah. know, holding a family member hostage would, you know, motivate, you know, anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like any movie or TV show that uses that is just a little bit too uncreative.
Right.
Because there's so many... I can't come up with one off the top of my head right now, but I could think of family member being held hostage off the top of my head right now. And I have not done any, exactly. and I am not a TV
exactly.
writer.
Exactly. That's the point. Like mm-hmm. I can't come up with a good one cause I'm not a TV writer,
mm-hmm. but I could come up with that one.
I can come up with that one. And that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually several other things we want to get into.
Yeah. Including some more weird character motivations, but I also want to make sure to talk about some of the positives here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they exist, and they make it an enjoyable show.
It is definitely fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I looked forward to watching it mm-hmm. when I went into it.
And I'm glad I did. Like yes. I said, I'm not going to do it again, but I'm glad I did it.
I might.
Do it again?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind watching it again.
I mean, it's on Amazon Prime for free if you're willing to watch commercials.
Yeah, this gets into our like renew remix thing, but I am interested in how they began to set up their second season.
Well, then let's save that.
Right.
Let's make their cliffhanger our cliffhanger and bring it in for a second episode of Terra Nova. Oh no, I think I just fell through a rift in the space-time continuum, because this episode shouldn't be over yet.
Must be your first time. First time I came through, there wasn't another episode for days on end. Took about 7 days for the next one to come through. But stick with me, you'll make it until then.
And if you're worried you might lose us through the infinitely branching timelines of the multiverse, just hit that subscribe button or search We Hardly Knew You on Twitter or Instagram.
And until then, we hardly knew you.